killed some of those false prophets. I was astounded, as I heard on the radio this morning, a particular Christian that had twisted the book of Revelation around so badly that it would be impossible to even comprehend part of the truth. I'm going to go over the certain points that this Protestant preacher or evangelist or whatever was equating the whole church and weaving it all in to these false statements. You know, our Lord said something quite clear. He said that beware of the false prophets. They will arise and they will mislead many. Let me read that into the perfect Greek, simply because today I'm going to show you, if you ever hear these false prophets, that to come against them with the Holy Scriptures as they were written in the Greek. Se the prophete, meaning false prophets, arithisonte, will arise, ke planisousen, will mislead, laos, many. Those are the Greek words that Christ used in Matthew chapter 24. Why is he bringing and putting that into Holy Scripture? The Lord knew, of course, that everything he said would be written and by the Holy Spirit could be used by us as a guide in the future days. Certainly 2,000 years later, we're able to go back. Here's the point which really disturbs me and saddens my heart deeply. These so-called brothers in Christ spewing out false statements have not only taken the Greek and translated it, mistranslated the Greek, because we have Bibles today that are in English that really don't come close to the true words of Scripture as they were written. Now, we have translations that are somewhat gray. From the white, they become gray because the English language basically is inept into actually translating the exact meanings of words and of sentences. Obviously, we all know that verses and chapters were not the way the Bible was written. The Holy Scriptures were written on an ongoing basis. And so lots of times, pastors decide that they would just read the part that substantiates their slant on the philosophy of Christianity. And that's really what it is, a personal philosophy, and a personal interpretation that the Bible clearly warns us not to do. And yet they do it. And thus they make themselves unknowingly, in some cases, they are what? They are satanic, is the devil himself, who takes and twists the truth to slant his way of thinking about Scriptures. False prophets today are here. We are in the period of false prophets. It is a very dangerous time because not only are truths twisted about, the faithful fall short and thus go on to damnation themselves. Even though the translations are not correct, they become gray. Now, with false prophets twisting the truth, they become black. They go all the way from the white, step one, removing it from the original meanings and writings of the language, into a interpretation of it, which shades it gray. And finally, they take those interpretations to a higher level, or I probably should say a lower level, to finally become black and satanic. Because if you change the meaning of Scriptures, it clearly warns you in the book of Revelations that if you change one dot or one tittle, or meaning the meaning of the Scriptures, you're damned. And why are you damned? It's a self-damning and a self-damnation that you bring upon yourself because you believe and want to believe these philosophies because they probably support your so-called Christian denomination. There should only be one denomination in Christ. If anything, there should be no denomination because the Scriptures cover the one holy apostolic church that began with Christ himself. Today, I'm very saddened to tell you that I'm going to take a very strong position. I'm hoping that you can understand that this is a position that I'm taking out of love and not judgment. Because when it becomes finally said and heard over the radio, when it's finally said and heard from the pulpits of these false prophets, they're leading the sheep to damnation. You almost have to scream and holler in order to save them from going off the cliff. And that's exactly where they're going. They're being led off into an area of darkness and eventually totally without any kind of recourse or ability to return to the truth. Let me read you some words that I heard this morning that are so sadden me, because they took the book of Revelation and they took things like Babylon. They actually make Babylon a whore and they call it the church. When clearly the Lord said the church will prevail, His true church. Now, if members of the true church go off on a tangent and find themselves following false prophets, now we can say, yes, they belong to the mystery Babylon. This individual I heard this morning, this Sunday morning, took mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and twisted it around and said it was the Church of Christ. It said actually the abominations became prevalent and it was the Church of Christ. When clearly Babylon, that great city, he even took that issue and twisted those words around and said the great city of Babylon was also the church, a form of the church, a temple. He took the word temple and used it so many different ways in order to include and make the temple the church. And in the return of Christ, that we know that it does include, of course, in 1 hour, that God puts down the rebellion of the Antichrist. But we're talking about something that's a little bit deeper than that. It says, and he took the words and twisted the words around of chapter 16 of Revelation. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying, go to the seven angels, go your ways. He also referred in chapter 15, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven plagues that are filled with the wrath of God. What really worried me was that he took and equated the great city, alas, alas, that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. I have heard so many times in evangelical churches, Pentecostal churches, the reference that the great whore and harlot is our beloved Catholic Church. I'm not defending the Catholic Church and saying that the churches of Christ today don't need edification. I believe they all do. But to call something that exists today the church, any church of God, how do I say it, Babylon, a whore, to me, it's nothing more than the Inquisition and a repeat of the Reformation of 1500, when the great nation of Spain, which was a Catholic nation, held the world together through its Catholic faith. Yes, mistakes were made. We also know that there was an Inquisition against the Jews at that time, forcing them to become Christians. But the truth of the matter is, Catholic Spain lasted for 400 years. What worries me is these false statements that are made by these so-called pastors that call themselves, authorities on the book of Revelation, and they twist the Greek words because the Greek words have already been translated to the English. Let me give you an example. There was a reference to the abomination of desolation. The Greek says, delima, meaning abomination, tis erimosios, of desolation, which was spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, who, and the holy place being, of course, Tuton Ayon, who once reads, let him understand. He who reads, let him understand. Then those in Judea, let them flee, Phreyetosan, Epo, that means Epi means to the mountains, Orin. O epitu, domatos, me katavletion, let him not come down, ariti, etis akias, aptu. It clearly means that at that time, the desolation is so bad, as read in Revelation. I just read you out of Matthew. But in the book of Revelation, it clearly says that there were great men of the earth, for thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And we also know that there was the great city of Babylon couldn't possibly be the church, because standing afar off, the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Well, wait a minute. That's precluded quite clearly. Therefore shall her plagues come in 1 day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication with her, deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when she shall see the smoke of her burnings, standing afar off. Now, standing afar off, of course, it also makes reference in the book of Revelation that they're seamen. And we also know that they looked upon her from the sea, and they were saddened. Because why? The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Clearly, Babylon is a city. That's the point of all of today and what we're saying. And they're twisting it around. And, of course, they're resurrecting their attack against the Catholic Church. Now, so I can clear this up with all my dear brothers and sisters in Christ that are out there. I'm a Greek Orthodox. It really, I'm not affected by the Catholic Church, except we are working for unity. God has said that in his prayer, even before the Father, that we be one, that we be united and be one. And to me, we need to unite. I'm not an ecumenical person that believes that we should ecumenically join together with anyone that is incorrectly interpreting Scripture and performing the functions of the true church. But we know that the true church exists. Why are the reformists and the reformationists that have come to this point after 300 or 400 years decided to completely abandon the truths of Christ? Completely. They don't want the communion. They don't want half of the sacraments, except that they be carried out in their own fashion. Clearly, where are the Protestants rooted in the world? They're not rooted in China. They're not rooted in India. They're not even rooted in Japan. They are rooted in the United States of America. Protestantism came here and grew here and runs abound with its lies and also its perpetration of the truth and taking translations and translating it to their own benefit to support their denomination. Now, to be in Christ, we said last week clearly, we said last week that if you're going to have faith, you can't have faith only. You have to fulfill your destiny. Why? Because God does choose you for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify him. You can't glorify him unless you what? You choose the destiny and the privilege of God blessing you where you are in the body of Christ. Obviously, you can be an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an edifier. The whole issue of being a prophet, of course, is to edify the church. So if edification was what the Holy Spirit had in mind when it gave the fivefold ministries, how can we condemn that very church? Well, maybe we can say that we haven't edified it properly. That's true. But let's face some real facts. Satan has entered into the church. The Blessed Mother very clearly pointed this out at Fatima. It has clearly been pointed out in all of her appearances that even in the church, men will come in that are false. Was she talking about the Catholic Church? No. She was talking about those that have the Christian label. You see, that's the sad part about it. As new people come to Christ today, they don't seek their destiny, and yet they believe they have a personal relationship. How can you have a personal relationship when you don't know the character that God wants you to portray, the path that he wants you to go? and what he chooses and what he wants to bless. If you go off on your own, if you go off and come up with your own interpretations, like these pastors do, and are leading these poor sheep to damnation, because they too are abandoning their true destiny. You can't have a true destiny glorifying God and be in a false Christian faith. You can't be in your true destiny and be faith only in a relationship with Jesus Christ and not what? And then take all of these false statements and believe them in your heart, and then you can say, well, half of me is false and the other half is with God, because I still find my destiny, but I believe these false Protestants that today, and I'm speaking today, 2007, in the month of July, that at this period right now, this country is so infiltrated with lies and what do I say, ideas and words against the true Church of Christ, the true apostolic church, that they can't help but want to go about taking the very translation that is now gray and making it dark, the darkness of Satan, because they want to perpetuate their position more and more. You see, Satan is making his stand more and more because he sees the end coming. Obviously, Satan doesn't want Babylon destroyed. And how can these pastors, I was appalled this morning, try to say that Babylon is not a great city, that the great city really means, and he related, oh, he came on with all his stark knowledge. He knew that the 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and he on and on and on. And so he proceeded to try to, and I think he's representative of the Reformationists that exist today, that he proceeded to equate Babylon with actually being the church. Well, are we going to throw out the words of Christ that the gates of hell can't prevail against my church? But now if you're outside of the church, I guess you can just run for your money, because Satan will help you and he'll build a little fire under you so you run faster to damnation, because that's really what he wants you to do. He wants you to abandon the church. He wants you to abandon the sacraments of the church. He wants you to abandon all the beliefs of the church. And that's why we had a division. I'm really saddened to think that in my studies about the Spanish history, they held for 400 years the world in a united Catholic, meaning universal, state. Yes, I know, well, we can pick on the popes today and yesterday. There's even intra-Catholic anti-defamation, because even some Catholics today say that since Vatican II, the church no longer exists. The popes are no longer popes. They're anti-popes. They don't even exist. But the seat of Peter is still open. Obviously, one of them wants to fulfill it themselves, because I asked them after a radio program I heard, the dastardly fellows were talking about this and that and the other, and I called them and I told them who I was. I was a Metropolitan Archbishop of the Greek Church. They proceeded to condemn me and judge me, and yet I asked them a simple question. I said, who tortured you to make you monks in this place? They couldn't answer that, because they weren't even tortured. There are people that just rose up out of the abyss of hell themselves. And you know, there's nothing worse than something inside your body fighting the good cells of your body. It's called cancer. And so they become the cancer of Catholicism. I think now I will start calling them the CC boys, cancer of Catholicism. And the bottom line is that the way you edify your church? Is there love in your heart? I heard so much hate in their voice that I was, you know, and they kept telling me, well, Peter, he's perfect. We know that all the popes had to be completely right about everything. The ones before Vatican II, of course, is what they were referring to. And I said, well, that can't be. If the seat of Peter was perfect and infallible, then how come St. Paul had to correct him? He was the first pope, then why was he? He wasn't really the first pope. The first leader of the church was James. Scriptures clearly state that. Well, they couldn't answer that. You know what they said, these CC boys? They said something really strange. These, what do we call them, cancer of Catholics. They said, well, it probably really wasn't Peter. So now they're saying that Scripture is falsely written. Give me a break. I just couldn't believe what was coming out of their mouths. But they did furnish a whole lot of information that places our beloved faith and all of our Christianity, for that matter, in bad need of edification. There's no question about that. There's no question about that. Because why would God allow so many people to be misled for so long? Why did he pray? His most sincere prayer to the Father was for his heart to be in the Father and the Father in him and we in both of them. Unity. Is this promoting unity? I think not. Let me also tell you about false prophets today, what they really mean in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, there's something that happens to the Word of God that needs really to be spoken about in the true meaning. Let me read you a portion to show you just how different it is. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof, I guess before long these false prophets will try to translate Euphrates and call it the river Mississippi. But it's the Euphrates, and it's in a different area. It's in Europe, as we know it, in the Middle East. And the water thereof was dried up, and that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs that came out of the mouth of the dragon. Well, let's see. Does it say prophets in the Greek? Or does it say Euphrates in the Greek? Or does it say Mississippi? Let me read it to you. It says Evratin. Evratin. That's Euphrates. And that's the Greek. These men will probably twist this around. And if it isn't Mississippi, it'll be some river in South America. But the bottom line is, when you change anything that's written scripturally, you're inviting damnation upon yourself. You know, it's really a shame that we Christians, in these last days, I agree, the traditional church sort of, I know the Orthodox Church doesn't even like to interpret the book of Revelation. I'm thankful to God that one of the things I had to follow in my studies was to learn about the book of Revelation. I know that it says in chapter 19, and he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat of the flesh of the kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. I certainly hope that part of that flesh are false prophets. I hope that God can rid us. We don't really need these type of... And the beast was taken and within the false prophet. You see, the leader, the false prophet, there will be a false prophet that is spoken about in the book of Revelation. He will be the great leader in Babylon, and he will be the great leader of all false prophets. Some will follow him. Does that sound a little bit, in the United States, does that not sound a little bit that we have these great so-called leaders that come up that own these large radio mammoth stations? And what are they? They're all supporters of the non-traditional form of Christianity. I'm not trying to say that Christianity is a tradition, but I'm also saying that you can't change the true Word of God. You can't. The devil and Satan, who will be bound up for 1,000 years, is really at the bottom of all this. And it also, we know that and the beast was taken, and with him false prophet that wrought miracles before him. So you see, they can get on TV all you want to, and they can have all these miracles and all these healings. That doesn't make them Christian. That doesn't make them men of the truth. That doesn't make them men of the first church. That makes them fit into the book of Revelation almost perfectly. Because when you abandon the true church of God, when you interrupt the succession, the holy succession, you're now entering into a territory that's unknown, and it will be filled by the leadership of Satan, because you have abandoned the leadership of Christ. You have abandoned the original 12 apostles that began the true church. You have abandoned all of the sacraments that God intends for us to have in order to be safe, to be edified, and to truly be in the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Beware, brothers and sisters in Christ, of those false prophets out there that are dissecting Revelation, everything to make their denomination acceptable to you. Spit it out if it's not truth, the fullness of the truth. In Christ Jesus' name, good day.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Profoundly, it's right in our midst for you to learn. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy to enter into anywhere from the associate program to the doctorate program. All approved by the State of Florida in its curriculum. Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael, low caps, Archangel Michael, A-R-C-H-A-N-G-E-L, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.
And it will be filled by the leadership of Satan, because you have abandoned the leadership of Christ. You have abandoned the original 12 apostles that began the true church. You have abandoned all of the sacraments that God intends for us to have in order to be safe, to be edified, and to truly be in the church that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Beware, brothers and sisters in Christ, of those false prophets out there that are dissecting Revelation, everything to make their denomination acceptable to you. Spit it out if it's not truth, the fullness of the truth. In Christ Jesus' name, good day.
It's important that I tell you St. Michael Academy of Eschatology is sponsoring this program. It is a Bible seminary, an Orthodox Bible seminary, and it's under the State of Florida Board of Education and of Colleges. Profoundly, it's right in our midst for you to learn. Please, you can write St. Michael Academy to enter into anywhere from the associate program to the doctorate program. All approved by the State of Florida in its curriculum. Post Office Box 7007, West Palm Beach, Florida, 33405. I also want to have a feedback from my beautiful listeners. You can reach me, your Bishop Harold Ambos, or Bishop Harry, or Bishop Happy, at msn.com, Archangel Michael, low caps, Archangel Michael, A-R-C-H-A-N-G-E-L, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, one word, at msn.com. I'm waiting to hear from you for any subject matter in theology or philosophy that we can speak about on this program. It's important I let you also know that my qualifications are a PhD in both theology and philosophy. God bless you.